And welcome back to the NAGB's Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about Bahamian visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm your host for this evening, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that it's coming down to the last week of really great shows at the NAGB. They both come down August 14th, I believe, Floating Rib, with nine women artists of the Bahamas, curated by Natalie Willis. Excellent show. Also Medicine and Memory on the ground floor, which is drawn off our permanent collection, off the permanent collection, and also curated by Natalie Willis, and speaks to how we have cared for ourselves and health and community over the past century. And then also Lynn Perotti, paintings by the artist Lynn Perotti, who's based in London, a Bahamian painter. That show is called Inherit the Earth and addresses the environmental crisis happening in our oceans around us, but series of really stunning paintings. So I really encourage people to get out, to go to the NAGB. Don't forget that it's open every day from Tuesday to Sunday, 10 to 6 every day, except Sunday, which is noon to 6. And by the way, always free if you live in the Bahamas. So whether you are Bahamian or a foreign national, if you are living in the Bahamas, then it is free to go to the National Art Gallery. It's got awesome air conditioning. It's got free Wi-Fi. So you know what? Go for the Wi-Fi and enjoy some art while you're there. We are here tonight talking to Giovanna Swaby, otherwise known as Gio. And Gio's been living in Canada for, we were just saying before the break, about 7 years. I remember when you both went off young and starry-eyed. And you're living in Vancouver. You've recently moved to Toronto, where you're securing your MFA. So tell us a little bit about the program you're in, and then tell us a little bit about this amazing show that just closed, and about the upcoming shows you have, because really your career just kind of within the course of 6 months just kind of exploded. You've been on Oprah, or you are highlighted on like Oprah's. Tell the audience a little bit about that, about how that all kind of came about, and you know what that whirlwind's been like for you.
I guess I can start like with the MFA part since you asked that first. I'm in the program at OCAD University. It's in the disciplinary art, which a lot of programs are kind of moving toward now. It's really great. I feel like I have grown so much in just the short time that I've been here. Like I've been encouraged to like think in new ways to just to experiment. And I feel like I've really developed a strong, like an even stronger, like conceptual basis for my work, connecting with the incredible professors at this and the incredible instructors here at OCAD. It's just been an amazing experience and really has supported so much of my professional practice as an artist. So I was mentioning earlier that kind of circular relationship between them. Mm-hmm. And that's really in full force right now for me, because I'm in the MFA program, and I also have, like you said, so much is happening for me in such a short amount of time. It's been incredible. This happened after I kind of I connected with Claire Oliver of Claire Oliver Gallery, and I'm represented by that gallery now, which is really shifted my career so much. I feel like I've been making the right connections. It felt like a good space for me, because so much of their like mandate as a gallery already aligned with what I wanted to do with my practice, and it just felt right at that time. So I just wrapped up my solo show there back in June, and it was incredible. I guess the most for me was just to see the response, because the gallery's in Harlem, and to see the response of people actually seeing that work and like posting selfies with the work, especially like young Black girls seeing that work and posing with it and like seeing themselves in the work, is just the most incredible, beautiful experience for me. And that's what I look forward to, I think, the most. And I would say that that's why I consider the work of my practice is never really like finished, because there's those connections that are still being made once the work is installed and on view.
Yeah, I've always felt that a work is actually not finished until it's viewed by an audience, basically. Like that, that's the final piece is really, because, you know, what does it actually mean without a viewer in a way? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not to, you know, take away from people that just, you know, paint and never, you know, again, like there's something also that you do for yourself, obviously. But I do think that there's a part of artwork which kind of requires audience to be nourished by it or to give something back to it. And I think that's, again, that was very powerful for me when I saw a lot of them too. I was just like, they were all people that many from the Bahamas. And so it was like, it had that extra added layer of like, again, just, you know, taking Bahamians to the world as well. And sort of showing the kind of multifaceted aspect of, you know, who we are. I mean, I understand, you know, that for you and your colleagues, it is also very much about representation and blackness. But I think, you know, for me as a Bahamian, it's just about also kind of shattering that narrative about what the Bahamas is when people then find out you're Bahamian. And that happens happens with Tavares's work. That happens with LeVar's work. As you know, they expect everybody to be from, Harlem or from New York or from the South. But, you know, it's like, oh, we're from the Bahamas. And people are like, oh, I didn't even... Oh, you have this kind of thing there, you know, and that, that always kind of upset me, that reaction. But obviously, you know, we have to get over it. But also that we're pushing that forward. I take so much pride. I get so excited when I see artists going out there and shattering also that kind of stereotype, right? About like who our people are.
That's such a major part of my practice, and it's why so much of when I talk about my work, when I write about my work, it is about being Bahamian. Of course, it is about blackness, but blackness is not homogenous. So a lot of my identity is rooted in my Bahamian heritage and being from the Bahamas, being born and raised there, which is a different experience from a Black person living in the United States or a Black person living in even different parts of Canada. So I guess a lot of my practice is about that specificity of Bahamian-ness and how I think about that. But it's also too wanting to find that balance of how, like, connecting with a global community.
It's kind of
connecting
like
with the African diaspora.
Yeah, it's like how we're different, but also how we're the same, right?
So yeah.
You know, kind of like the work we do regionally, and that we did at you know, at the NAGB2 was so much about, like, it was about nation building, but it was also about, you know, connecting with sister countries or, you know, in the region to sort of talk about, yes, we're different, and to celebrate our differences, but then to also seek that commonality and that those stories that bind us together. And so I think your work's doing that, and really successfully. So I just was so pleased. And I know that you got some quite big museum purchases. Is that correct? Like you've joined some collections. So do you want to tell the audience a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's very, like, so incredibly exciting for me, because I do have like a museum solo show that's happening in about a year at the Museum of Fine Arts in Petersburg in Florida. And that was just so incredibly exciting to me. The team is wonderful, and I feel like that's such a good place for me to start, also being like a little bit closer to home too. It's really nice for me. And then also the Art Institute of Chicago is also a part of that museum tour, which is just like, you know, like a year ago, this would not have even been maybe on like my vision board for what I saw to come. So it's really exciting to receive that response, and it even heightens my sense of responsibility to kind of maintain a strong connection to home. Mm-hmm. And to make sure that my work is understood within that context as well. And to, you know, like, be a representative of the Bahamas. I consider myself to be that wherever I go. And I'm I'm really excited to, like, I'm super honored, really, to be able to do this work.
And I think, you know, again, we're sort of not assuming, we just forgot that some of the audience might not have seen your work. So, you know, just to briefly, I mean, and it's interesting to actually watch how your work has kind of developed as well, because I think there was a period where you were kind of experimenting with textures and kind of collecting things, collecting objects and sort of creating these sort of almost sculptural collages in a way. And then, and you know, a lot of people doing paper collages, and you had a couple of installations at the NAGB with, you know, wallpaper and things in frames, and then you started sewing, and you started using fabrics as opposed to sort of paper in a way to collage almost with fabrics, and then you sort of started doing portraits, these beautiful portraits, and there was a sort of like a cross section between, I don't know, a tradition almost of quilting or a tradition of women's work and kind of the kind of work that a lot of Bahamian women would have had as well at the turn of the century, like in the last century, being seamstresses. So I think it sort of ties to something deeper here as well. And that idea of like, I don't want to go back to like everything's junk anew, but this kind of like using objects that have been discarded or kind of finding beauty in the mundane, using kind of scraps of things and creating something like really stunning out of that. So it's interesting that, you know, I look at your work and I see a lot of that going on. And now really you're doing these portraits and you're doing portraits of Black women, you know, all on a sewing machine. So, and your skill has also really improved. So that's also been really interesting to watch, is not just how your skills improve, that your technique of actually doing these portraits with a sewing machine, where you're using the thread from the sewing machine really as the line, and you're using that to kind of create faces, to create form. But I've also noticed that you've kind of like, you start to leave loose threads, and that's again, very intentional. So just tell me a little bit about the progression and like how you've, you know, how you've come to, and I think also like sometimes there's a lot of fabric and sometimes there's none, like that you use the contrast of the backing with the marks of the thread in a very, again, intentional way. So I'd love you to just talk a little bit about your process.
Oh, sure. It's definitely been a journey. Like my first portraits, I recently looked back on them, and I mean they're okay, but it's really like grown a lot, and I have to like kind of remind myself that I have been really doing this kind of making for about 10 years. It doesn't feel that long, but it has been. So I see that growth too. And I guess a part of it for me is, you mentioned like traditional forms of working with textiles like quilting and seamstressing, which is super, super connected to my practice. And I take a lot from those kinds of makers, and that the work is never, the learning for them is never really finished. They're always really excited learners and always kind of open to learning new techniques and new ways to kind of work with fabric. And I have adopted like something similar, where I maintain an openness for experimentation, and I don't want the work to become stagnant. I want to see like what I can do, and I guess experimentation is the part of it that feels, I guess, the most for me throughout my process, that being able to figure things out and just see how it goes without always knowing what the outcome will be. And that's part of why my educational journey is also reflected in that I want to keep my processes of like gathering knowledge and knowledge making open. And right now, like going into this incubator that is an MFA program felt just like the right place for my work. And I think
it has. I'm so excited to see what happens.
But, me too.
and also I think something that I've noticed, because now, you know, we've been conversing for so long, I want to say, is that actually being, you know, how you talk about your work. And I think that's something that a lot of artists, and especially young artists, don't realize is important. And so again, for young artists listening, or for parents of artists listening, you know, that's also something about the educational process. And or even if it's not an education, even if it's an informal education, if it's just doing a lot mm-hmm. of shows, you know, in a local space, interacting with audience. I think sometimes this romantic idea of the artist like up in their garret and the artist just has to produce can be a little detrimental, because I think that's important to have that alone time. But I think also like how you're able to, again, sort of articulate, you know, what interests you and how you've grown and how your work's grown and what your work's about is also like a really important part of sort of being an artist today. And so that's something I've also really like noticed is like through the years, you know, you've had more time to think about it and look at it almost from the outside to observe what you've been doing. And I think that's been really valuable too.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like that part about being able to being able to talk about your work is very important. And it requires like periods of reflection. Like I'm not necessarily of the mind that you have to know what everything, like what is your piece about before you make it. Sometimes that's something that happens as you're making it, or even after you reflect and you say, wow, this was connected to that and that's connected to that. But I think the part about having time and moments for reflection on your practice and what your work means to you is important in forming like that like conceptual base of how you want to present these pieces to the world.
And I think it's also in a way what keeps you going, because if you know why you're doing what you're doing, it helps you continue, you know, right? And in a way, so so I think that kind of self-reflection is a really, again, important part of the process. So believe it or not, even though like I sort of dropped off and my Wi-Fi has gone crazy, we are coming up to the end of our hour, Gia. So I know it's gone so fast, but so quickly in the last couple of minutes, tell us about Oprah Winfrey.
Oh my God, that was so excited. It was super, super exciting. It was really like a surprise. It happened very quickly. I was in my Uber, and I came straight out of my Uber from the airport, and I was on set and I was like in hair and makeup. It was so fun. But apart from that, I am just so excited to be able to have that platform for such an important part of like Black history for Juneteenth, and just that idea of being able to express how my work is connected to joy and to be able to show how I find those moments was just incredible. So
it was
a moment.
Congratulations. I think you made us all proud. You know, we know, like you said, you're always kind of representing the Bahamas. And it's just beautiful. And I know that, like, you know, again, everyone in the art scene here, everybody that heard about it, we're all just rooting for you. And everyone is just so excited and pleased and happy and just, again, joyous. You've also given us a lot of joy. So thank you, Giovanna Swathy. Thank you for your work. And, you know, just thank you for you. And for joining us tonight on NHGB's Blank Canvas.
Thank you. And thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Anytime. So we hope to see you at home soon. And you take care. Okay. And to the
thank
audience,
you.
Yeah, of course. And to our audience, thank you for listening tonight. Of course, you can always go back to the NHGB's website, listen to the show again, or visit your NHGB. So do that, because it's hot and there's great air conditioning and good art. So have a good night, Bahamas. You've been listening to the NHGB's Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I was your host tonight, and we were talking with Giovanna Swathy, and we hope to see you next week on 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so much. Have a great night.